I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. 2 Kings, chapter 4. Last week, we completed our walk through the book of Philippians. And unless he is somehow got some sort of telepathy going on, Dave had no idea that I was going to double back this morning. But wow, what a song selection, especially with what God has just been beating my heart with all week. There's a passage at the end of Philippians that in our series I didn't have time to treat the way I really wanted. And so I just feel like the Lord has led me to double back on that passage. And to use an illustration that we see in the Old Testament to help us gain a deeper understanding of exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he spoke with utmost confidence from a prison cell, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Wow, there is just so much dripping from that passage. But I want us to go to 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning, and I want you to see an illustration of this and see just how it is that our God pours out his grace and pours out his blessing upon us. 2 Kings chapter 4, begin reading in verse 1. "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside.' So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another.' Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest.'" Have you ever known true poverty? You ever known what it truly is to be poor, to be in need, to be in want, and not have any idea where your next meal might come from? Jules Pfeiffer once said, "I used to think I was poor. Then they told me I wasn't poor, I was needy. And then they told me it was self-defeating to think of myself as needy. I was deprived. And then they told me deprived was a bad image and I was underprivileged. Then they told me underprivileged was overused. I was disadvantaged. I still don't have a dime, but I sure do have a great vocabulary." Have you ever found yourself in the shoes of Miss Pfeiffer just like, "I don't care what you call it, I don't have two pennies to rub together"? So often that can be a picture, whether it's true in our physical life or just in our spiritual life. It's true for each and every one of us spiritually. If not today, then at one point in your life, you were in a situation, you were in a place where you had to realize you had nothing that you could bring to the table. What a picture in 2 Kings chapter 4 of an absolute destitute woman. We could spend days going on talking about the background and the history of 2 Kings and talking about the period of time in which all of this occurred. But the most important thing to understand is that this was a woman who was desperately reliant on the life of her husband, because he was the only one who had any means of providing for them as a family. And she wakes up one morning and she finds that her husband is dead. She has bills she cannot pay, and her creditors come to her house and they say, okay, that's fine. If you don't have the money to pay, we'll take your children into slavery to pay your debts. This woman comes and finds the man of God. She finds Elisha, and as she comes begging him, he says, what shall I do for you? I love that phrase because it points us to the idea that Elisha, in and of himself, could do nothing for this woman. But as the man of God, he listened to God and he told her exactly what she was to do. He told her, you are to go to your neighbors, you are to gather empty vessels, not too few. Gather as many as you can find. I can just see as this woman comes into her living room, she's got just vessels touching each other from wall to wall, just as many as she can fit into her room. She comes back, she says, okay, now what do I do? And Elisha, the man of God, tells her, he says, you go into your room, you shut your door behind you, you take the one possession that you have, you take that one jar of oil, and you take that and you pour it out. How many of us are readily willing and able to take the last of what God has given us and to pour it out when He tells us to do so? And yet she goes into her house, she closes the door, and she begins to pour. And she pours, and she pours, and she pours. And what do you know? There's enough oil in that jar to fill the largest jar she has collected. And then she tells her boy, she says, this one's full, bring me another. And she continues to pour, and it pours and pours until that one's full, and one after another, these boys bring her jars, she fills the jars. She started with one little can of oil, one little vessel of oil, and now all of a sudden, she's got enough oil to feed multitudes. She goes back to the man of God, and he says, now you take that oil, very precious, very valuable in that day. You take that oil, you sell it, you pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. What a picture of our need. What a picture of our God's supply. Paul spoke to the Philippians from a jail cell in Rome. He said, my God will supply all your need, every need of yours, according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The first thing I see there is that we are a people of gargantuan shortcomings. I mean, we are such a needy people, I don't think we can even plumb the depths of all of our needs. We can't even understand how needy we really are. I mean, if we just start with our earthly needs, we talk about our need for food and our need for water and our need for shelter and our need for clothing. And then we think, well, you know, I need internet access and I need the biggest, best TV that's just been put on the market. And I need a good paying job with benefits, and I need a brand new vehicle, and I need a $1 million house. And I need, we can just start listing our physical needs. Problem with most of us is we put a lot of wants in the needs category, and we forget that there's two different lists. But God knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what we need. And He says that He promises to provide and to supply for all of our needs. He knows you need food. He knows you need water. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need shelter. Do you remember what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6? He said, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. Have you come to a place in your life where, with Paul, as he said to Timothy and as he said to the Philippians, we saw it just a few weeks ago, can you honestly say with Paul, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content? Have you learned to be content with plenty? And have you learned to be content in the poorhouse? Because Paul said, it doesn't really matter what I have or what I don't have. As long as I have godliness with contentment, it is great gain. We could go all day long talking about our earthly needs, but what about our eternal needs? What about our spiritual needs? It'd be impossible to mention all the forms of our spiritual need. We need to be daily converted from one form of sin or another. We need to be instructed in the things of God. We need to have our minds illuminated with the mind of Christ. We need to be comforted by the promises of God. We need to be quickened by the precepts of God. We need to be strengthened by the doctrines of God. We are full of needs from the 1st of January through the end of December, and we could go on and on and on all year talking about our physical and spiritual needs. But here's the mercy. My God shall supply all your need. He knew you had a need before you even knew you had a need, and he's already provided the supply. Have you been put in high places? Do you enjoy many comforts in life? Do you enjoy wealth? What you need is to be kept from loving the world, to be preserved from perversion and pride and the foolishness and fashions of the fallen world in which we live. And my God shall supply all your need. Are you poor? Then the temptation is to envy, to bitterness of spirit, to rebellion against God. I'm here to tell you this morning, my God shall supply all your need. Are you alone and lonely? Then you need the Lord Jesus to be your companion, and your companion he will be, because my God shall supply all your need. Are you surrounded with family and friends? Then you need the grace of God to set a godly example before them, to raise your children in the love and the admonition of the Lord, to manage your household in the fear of God, and my God shall supply all your need. You have need in times of joy to be kept sober and steady. You have need in times of sorrow to be kept strong and submitted. You have needs in livings, and you will have needs in dying. But your last need will be supplied as surely as your first, because my God shall supply all your need. So the apostle encourages us to come to the edge of the precipice, to look down into this great gulf known as our need, and to say with Spurgeon in exaltation, O Lord, we thank thee that our needs are great, for there is more the room for thy love, thy tenderness, thy power, thy faithfulness to fill the chasm. Well, we're a people of gargantuan shortcomings. We have tremendous needs, but I don't want you to forget that we praise a great sovereign. My God shall supply all your needs. My God, my God. Well, whose God is this? Well, of course, it's Paul's God. But this is one of those areas where the greatest saint is no better off than the least, because just as Paul could call the Lord my God, he is also my God, and he is your God if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He is my God, and he is as much my God if I'm the meanest, coldest, most obscure, or weakest of all his people, as if I, like the Apostle Paul, could evangelize the entire known world for the cause of Christ. What a thought that my God is Paul's God. It ought to bring great confidence to you to know that your God is the God of George Mueller. And just as he always sustained the children at Bristol, he will always sustain you as well. When you search the pages of Scripture, it ought to bring you great comfort to know that you serve the God of Abraham, who was blessed in all things, and Abraham's God will supply all your need. You read of Elijah, how the ravens fed him. You have Elijah's God at your disposal if you trust in him. And if he so pleases, God can have the ravens come and feed you as well. The God of the prophets, the God of the apostles, the God of all the saints that have gone before us, this God is our God, and he shall supply all our needs. Is the God of Paul your God this morning? Is he? Is he really? Have you put your faith and trust in the God that Paul is talking about here to the Philippians? Have you put your faith and trust in the God to whom Elisha looked when he told that woman to go and shut that door behind her and begin to pour? And you don't stop pouring until the oil stops. And the oil is not going to stop until all your needs have been met. Is this your God? Because you see, it's not every professing Christian who knows the Lord of the Bible at all. Some invent a deity such as they imagine God to be, and they're trying to return the favor. Instead of seeing that they are made in the image of God, they turn around and try to make God in their own image. But the God of Paul is the God of the Old Testament, and he is the God of the New Testament. Do you trust such a God? Can you rest upon him? You say, well, there's such severe punishment and judgment in the Bible. Indeed, there is. But do you kick against that? Does that cause you problems in your spirit? Then you cast him off. And it's not the God of the Bible you worship. Do you think you'll ever be able to understand God? As a child, do you think you'll ever be able to measure the infinite God? Are you so self-righteous as to think you'll ever be able to arraign him before your bench and say, you should have done this and you should not have done that? Are we so arrogant and prideful as to think that we can ever stand in judgment over God? You ask, who is this God? And his reply to you today is very simply this: I am. I am who I am. Deal with it. Either you accept the God of Scripture or you reject the God of Scripture, but there is no sitting on the fence. And you say, well, what must I do? Cast yourself upon him, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of the Apostle Paul. Say to him today, you are my God and I will rest upon you. Join with Ruth and cry out in faith. Do not urge me to leave or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. Because your God is the one thing that I desire. And he is not only your God now, but he is my God. Because my God shall supply all my need. If that's the cry of your heart, then my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And if he will supply you, then you will be supplied indeed. Because our God is a God of infinite capacity. Notice, our God provides a generous supply. My God shall supply all your need. Remember the woman back in 2 Kings chapter 4, whose children were to be sold to her creditor to pay the debts of her late husband. She had nothing to call her own except some empty oil jars. And the prophet said to her, set those in order and go see your neighbors and gather as many oil jars as you can find from them. And don't gather too few. Get as many as you can find. Bring them all together. She went from one to another until she had her room full of these empty vessels. And then the prophet said, pour into all these vessels. She began to pour out from her most empty vessel. And to her surprise, it filled her largest oil jar. She went to another and filled that, and then another, and then another. She kept filling all the oil jars until at last she said to the prophet, there is not another jar to fill. There's not another vessel to fill. And then the oil stopped. And so it will be with your needs as well. Were you frightened just now at having so many empty vessels? Were you? I encourage you now to rejoice, to think that you have so many of them, so many needs, because there are just so many empty vessels to be filled. If the woman had borrowed only a few jars, she couldn't have received as much oil. But the more empty vessels she had, the more oil she obtained. So the more needs you have, if you bring them to God, so much the better, because he will fill them all to the brim until they are overflowing. And when you have no more needs, then the supply will be stopped, but not one moment until then. How gloriously God gives to his people. We wanted pardon once. He washed us and made us whiter than snow. We wanted clothing because we were naked. What did he do? Did he give us some rags or some fig leaves to cover our nakedness? No. He said, bring the best robes and put them on him. It was a fortunate thing for the prodigal son that his clothes were in rags, because it provided his father an opportunity and an occasion to supply all the needs of his wandering son according to the riches of his own glory. And do not think that your heavenly Father will do any less for you. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Remember the words of Jesus himself in John chapter 7. He said, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We give to the poor, and when we do so, we generally give no more than we can help. But our God doesn't stop to count his favors. He gives like a king. He pours water out on the thirsty, and then he saturates and floods the dry ground all around him. And how can our God provide such a generous supply? Well, it's because our God possesses a gigantic store. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. I might as well just sit down right now, because I can't even begin to scratch the surface of that subject. God's riches in glory are beyond all thought. God's riches in glory are beyond your wildest dreams. God's riches in glory are beyond anything you can possibly imagine. God's riches in glory are beyond anything you might ask or think. Consider the riches of God in nature alone. Sometimes just get away into the forest. If you look hard enough, you might be able to find one around here somewhere. Just get out and walk trail after trail, cross creek after creek. Look upon tree after tree, which cast their shade for no man's pleasure but the Lord's alone. Get out in nature and look from lone mountainside to far-reaching plain and observe the countless flowers whose perfume is for our God alone. What a wealth is created each and every spring. If you just look out and you see, we have gotten so much rain. Now, I love coming out of this parking lot, going right over here and heading down Enchantment Hill, because you can just see green as far as the eye can see. Usually it's brown, but this year you just get to see green as far as you can see, as far as you can drive, as far as you can go. It's all green and there's flowers, and it's all for the glory of God. Observe the vast amount of animal life that crowds the land with riches of divine wisdom. And remember the psalmist when he said in chapter 24, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Look toward the sea and think of the schools of fish. So countless, only the fringe is ever even touched by fishermen, and yet they find enough to feed the nations. Think about the sunken treasures in the ocean, treasures never touched or observed with human eyes, whose purpose is solely for the pleasure of the Almighty. And if you would see the wealth of the Creator, you'd have to cast your eyes to the stars and count them if you can. Astronomy has enlarged our vision, has helped us to see just how tiny and infinitesimally small we are in the scope of everything all around us. And yet what we can see, the billions of galaxies with just a cheap little telescope, is just a fraction of everything that's out there, the countless galaxies that inhabit infinite space. God's riches in nature are certainly breathtaking, but consider his riches in providence. He says to his creatures, go, and they go. He says to another one, do this, and he does it. Proverbs 21 and verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Think of the riches of God in grace. It's there. It's right here in the riches of God in grace that nature and providence stand eclipsed. Because it's in the grace of God that we find a fountain of eternal love, the gift of God the gift of an infinite sacrifice, the pouring out of the blood of His only begotten Son, and the covenant of grace in which the smallest of blessings is of infinite value, the riches of His grace. He's rich in love. He's rich in mercy, rich in patience, rich in power, rich in kindness, rich in glory, rich beyond all conception. Now, your needs will be supplied according to the riches of God. It'll be supplied according to the riches of God in nature and the riches of God in providence and grace, but that's not all. The apostle reaches for the highest height, and he says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory." I mean, he talks about something here we can't even lay eyes on yet. We can't even see. We can look at nature. We can see God's hand of providence in our lives. We can see the grace that He bestows upon us. And yet Paul reaches as high as he can go, and he says, "Your needs will be supplied according to the riches of God in glory in Christ Jesus." Spurgeon again, we have never seen God in glory. That were a sight our eyes could not at present behold. Christ in His glory then transfigured upon earth was too resplendent a spectacle even for the tutored eyes of Peter, James, and John. At the two transporting light, darkness rushed upon them, and they were as men that slept. What God is in His glory? Do ye know, ye angels? Does he not veil His face even from you, lest in the excessive brightness of His essence even you should be consumed? Who amongst all His creatures can tell the riches of His glory? End quote. But as wonderful and as beautiful and as glorious as all of that is, don't miss the last three words. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It is Jesus that's the prize. It is Jesus that we want. We don't want riches to have riches. We don't want the supply solely for the supply. This woman in 2 Kings 4 was not looking for oil that she might be able to have all of her wants and all of her desires met. She just wanted the slate wiped clean. She just wanted to not be in debt anymore and to continue to have her sons in her presence. And what did God do? God poured out grace upon grace upon her, and He has done the same thing for you and me today. He has done the same thing for you and me in Christ Jesus. That is the fountainhead where living waters well up. You're not to keep your needs supplied by your own care and worry. You're not to be enriched through Jesus Christ. You are to be enriched in Jesus Christ. It is in Christ that you find your wealth. It is in Christ that your debts are paid. It's in Christ that you have hope for eternity. You're not to have your spiritual needs and wants supplied by running to the law and trying to be your own Savior. Paul drives us to the law, and he says the law drives us to the gospel, and the gospel tells us that the only way to have your needs supplied in the way that it really needs to be supplied is through the riches of God in glory, which are in Christ Jesus. So if you refuse to go to Christ, you must go without grace. Because God will give you nothing in the way of grace except through His Son, Jesus. He has already provided the way. He has already paid the price. He has already laid down His life. And we spit in the face of God if we dare try to come to Him and find His grace any way other than the way He has already provided. You say, so what? What are we supposed to do with that? Well, very quickly, it's not difficult. First of all, set out your empty vessels. Understand that you are a person of tremendous need. Just admit that right now, because you have needs, whether you want to admit it or not. Whether you want to let your pride stand in the way or not, that's just a facade. That's just a show. If you're really going to be honest with yourself and honest with God, just go ahead and admit right now, you have tremendous need. And then start looking to God. Set out your empty vessels and then trust God to fill them. Marvel at how God will meet your needs. And remember, two key things here. God will meet your needs as becomes His wealth. Is that not a beautiful thought? That the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills has promised, if you are a child of His, that He will meet your need. He will supply every need of yours according to His riches. According to His riches, not according to my riches, not according to the riches of Donald Trump or Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or any of the rest of them, all of them combined. It's not according to our riches, it's according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God will meet your needs as becomes His wealth, and He will meet your needs by giving you His Son, Jesus Christ. Is He the one you want? Is He the one your soul longs for this morning? I want to remind you of the words of the psalmist, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Do you have needs this morning? I encourage you to come running to the arms of Jesus. And I promise you, upon the authority of God's word, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Stand with me, please, for prayer. Father, we love you. Oh, what a God we serve. What a blessing, what a privilege and an opportunity to be able to come into your house, to be able to come into your presence with the veil torn, the blood of your Son pleading our cause, making intercession moment by moment before your throne. Father, our desire is to honor and to glorify you in this place today. There is one who's never come to faith in Christ, who's never believed the gospel, who's never come to an understanding of their giant need. God, that you would reveal that to them. You would draw them to yourself. Help them to see the supply that is available, not in and of themselves, but that you will supply according to your riches and glory through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.